السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. مسام.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الحمد لله. How was Mufti Sam this evening?
Alhamdulillah.
Jazakallah. Nice speaking to you again, Mufti Sam.
Jazakallah.
All right, Mufti Sam. All right, dear listeners, inshallah, we're going to commence the question and the answer session. And as always, if you have any questions, you can start SMSing us your questions. And the cell phone number here is 082-580-8070. I repeat, the cell phone number to SMS your questions, it's 082-580-8070. And you can call us, inshallah. And the number, the studio number is 011-854-1548. And due to the problems you are having, pose your questions, direct the questions to Maulana Peer Ali, who in turn will type the questions on the computer screen, and those questions, inshallah, will be directed to Mufti Saab. So that number is 011-854-1548, and the SMS number is 082-580-8070. You can start sending us your questions. We'll just have the first question that came through about 10 minutes ago is, with regards to insurance premiums or life insurance premiums, do they need to be added for zakat calculation?
As far as Sharia is concerned, we do know that life insurance is haram. And one pious, righteous, practical Muslim should not go into the life insurance policy. As far as the temporary short-term insurance policy, some ulama say it is permissible due to circumstances, so you will pay on your surrender value zakat.
Yeah. All right, jazakallah. The question on the screen is, in Witr Mufisam, the imam forgot to make the takbir before going for ruku. What happens?
How did he go into ruku then?
Musab, I wonder. I think what happened here is maybe the imam forgot to make the Allahu. I don't know, Musab. I don't know. The question is it's incomplete.
Because he must have said something
before he went to the call.
Because if he said any way, word of praising Allah Ta'ala,
okay.
Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, and if he said Allahu Akbar softly, all that will be in order.
It will be in order. Jazakallah. The question on the SMS, it says, please comment, Mufti Saab, on women's i'tikaf, the do's and the don'ts, for example, cooking, washing clothes, cleaning the house, etc.
There are various factors concerning female i'tikaf. Number one, that the wife will have to take the consent of the husband prior to sitting for i'tikaf. Number two, he should demarcate her area of i'tikaf, meaning, for example, like a huge room, and obviously attached to it will be the bathroom, etc., the toilet. Thirdly, she must fully realize that she cannot go out of that demarcated area for any unnecessary activity. Fourthly, she must know, and she must have already worked out, that while she is in i'tikaf, then she will not experience menstruation. Upon experiencing menstruation, i'tikaf automatically will break, because the fast will break. For masnoon i'tikaf in the last 10 days of Ramadan, for both men and women, shart, precondition is fasting. She can, whilst in i'tikaf, instruct others about the cooking activities, but not physically her herself go down to the kitchen or go to the kitchen and prepare the meals, but she can give instructions. She can sew, knit, she can teach, she can learn, she can accept people to visit her, all that is permissible. But she must not indulge in all those things also which will make her i'tikaf makruh, that is, gossiping, backbiting, etc.
Alright. We just have also with regards to a woman's i'tikaf, we have a question here with regards to the telephone. Say, for example, a lady is, she's a widow, staying alone in the home, and what happens if the telephone rings? Is she allowed to go out of the i'tikaf room and answer that call?
Obviously, in this case, especially if she's a widow staying alone, then it is highly advisable for her not to make i'tikaf, because it is not feasible, practical. And how is she going to get her food, etc. also? So So, besides answering the phone, how food and basic necessities going to reach her? So, she should consider carefully for her own practicality and safety whether it will be reasonable for her to enter into i'tikaf or not. However, if she is making i'tikaf, whether she is a widow or not, or whether she is a lady, and she leaves that room to go to answer the phone, the i'tikaf will be null and void, will break, will be invalidated.
All right, Jazakallah. Tune in when it's past 10 o'clock. You are tuned to your favorite learning station, Radio Islam on Medium Wave 154. We have comments, a question and the answer session with Mufti Ilyas Saab. If you have any questions, you can SMS us your questions, and the cell phone number is 082-580-8070. It's 082-580-8070, and the studio number is 011-854-1548. Direct your questions to Malana Peterly, and inshallah he'll type it out on the computer, and basically Mufti Saab will answer those questions. The next question is, Mufti Saab, for Shafi'is, do we have to read Qiraat in the third and fourth rakat after Surah Fatiha?
For Shafi'is? When they say Qiraat, what they mean, recite what?
I really don't know. It means basically, I think we are reading namaz behind the imam. Do they also read Surah Fatiha or what?
Yes, they will read Surah Fatiha, obviously. Because the Shawafi Hazrat, they will read Qiraat. Because their salat is like classified on individual basis, so naturally they will be reading Qiraat.
Alright, Jazakallah. The next question is, if you have a problem, the brother says, in your masjid, who do you approach first, the imam or the mutawallid?
If the person knows the infrastructure of the masjid, meaning the administrative infrastructure of the masjid, these days, unfortunately, the imam's hands are tied in many respects and aspects. And basically, the imam is literally under the command and dictates of the mutawallis. And unfortunately, in most cases, the trustees regard the poor imam as a worker, mere worker, and do not afford him the necessary respect and honor and dignity that he deserves. So the person should find out who can address this situation, whatever the difficulty is, and who has got the mandate and authority to address his problem. If he comes to know the imam has got the jurisdiction over his problem, then he should approach the imam. And if he knows that the mutawallis, the trustees, have got jurisdiction over his difficulty, then obviously he goes to them.
Alright, so that's about 24 minutes past 10 o'clock. And to the listeners, if you are sending your questions via SMS, then please phrase your questions properly. It must be complete. And the number to call is 082-580-8070. That's your SMS number. And the studio number is 011-854-1548. The next question is, salams, is it permissible to use a nebulizer for asthma while fasting and to steam with hot water and Vicks and stuff like that, Jazakallah?
Basing an analogy which has been written in the books, that if you are laying in a room and there is a mosquito coil, and also if there is a agarbati, and that smell and that smoke enters, that will not invalidate the fast. Similarly, that if you went into an area there is smoke and the smoke entered, then that will not invalidate the fast. Therefore, to take in any vapor which will basically translate into oxygen and gas and come into your system will be permissible. Therefore, we have the opinion that the nebulizer and the vapor that comes out from steaming, etc., or even utilizing a steam bath due to ailment will not break or will not invalidate the fast.
All right, Jazakallah. We have a number of questions on the computer screen. The next one is, Mufti Saab, must we pay zakat from the estate or the marhums?
Remember a rule that zakat a living person pays zakat, a marhum, a deceased, dead person does not pay. There is no ownership of that wealth at the moment. It is in estate, that means it is there for distribution. Once distributed, then whomsoever receives it, upon them is the responsibility to pay zakat, if they are those who are paying zakat.
Alright, the next question from an anonymous sister, Mutisab. She says, my husband and I had a huge, huge fight. Where he got in the car, he told me he talaks me 3 times in a rage. He didn't allow for the 3 monthly periods nor any procedures regarding talaq. But before the monthly periods were over, he said we must reconcile. We enjoyed relations after the reconciliation. Everything was the same as before. Are we still married? And please give hadith verses to support our status. It is very urgent. Jazakallah, anonymous sister.
As far as the question is concerned, it is very sad in nature that it's this sort of matters happen even in the blessed month of Ramadan. Upon issuing 3 talaqs, 3 talaqs takes place. We have written one book, translated it actually, of Mufti Sayyid Abdul Jalil, Sheikh al-Hadith of Talibuddin, Ispin Obij. It is called 3 talaqs in one session, where we have quoted from Quran and Hadith and explained the ahadiths related and proving that 3 talaqs is equal to 3. Because to understand it logically, that if a person has got 3 bullets in a gun and he shoots, he'll shoot one and one will come out of the barrel. If he shoots 3 in one session, one sitting, one majlis, one time, then 3 will come out, not one will result. So unfortunately, the couple are divorced. Shari, Islamically, the relationship after that is absolutely illegal, haram in nature. If they should realize that they are no more husband and wife in the light of Sharia, she should be sitting in iddat. They should consult an alim regarding their issue and finalize everything. Unfortunately, the divorce has fallen, she is in iddat, and now she will have to complete her iddat, and currently there is no reconciliation except by she marrying someone voluntarily and consummating that marriage and then receiving a divorce from her second husband, then sitting for iddat, then she will be entitled to marry her first husband.
It's a very serious matter. It's very sad, tragic that talaqs are given in this matter. Alright, 29 minutes past 10 o'clock. The next question is, must a muqtadi read the qunut or be silent and follow the imam?
The muqtadi should read the qunut, especially the confusion may arise that in Ramadan, contrary to the 11 months, that we make the qunut individually and obviously recite the qunut. Now, because in Ramadan, the qunut is recited and read in congregation, however, the muqtadi, the follower, must recite the dua e qunut behind the imam.
Alright, the next question, is it permissible to use deodorants?
If the deodorant does not contain any alcohol content, then it will be permissible. However, that if the deodorant is of spray nature and the alcohol minimum content is there for preservation, and upon using the spray, then upon pressing the nozzle of the spray, the alcohol evaporates and disappears, and only pure substance reaches the skin, then it will be permissible. It is highly advisable to stay away from those deodorants which are roll-on in nature and contain alcohol.
Alright, JazakAllah. 28 minutes to 11 o'clock, you are tuned to Radio Islam. Any questions you have, you can SMS us your questions on 082-580-8070 or alternately 8541548, the dialing code being 011. The next question we received via SMS is, Salams, how does a female Shafi'i perform her witr salat? Two rakats, then one or three with pause of the two. How will she perform her tarawih?
She will perform, if she is a Shafi, she will definitely perform it how her Imam of Mazhab does it, that means two and one.
Alright, and the next question is, Mufti Saab, what is the correct way of performing the sajdas in the Quran and what is the benefits of these sajdas?
The correct method will be if a person is reciting a sajda, a tilawat, ayat, and there are 14 according to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, and these sijdas are marked on the side of the Quran, and once reading them, a person should stand up, say Allahu Akbar, go into sijda, and then read the tasbihat, and after that say Allahu Akbar, the sijda is over. Now that a person can do so from sitting position also. It is highly advisable that upon reciting the sijda tilawat ayat to perform it forthwith. It is also permissible if you gather them and do it in quantity, meaning three at a time or four at a time. However, that is not a very good act, although permissible, because a person does not know that will he be alive to make those collective sijda tilawat which he owes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The benefit is very simple, that at this juncture Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made sijda, and ittiba following Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to earn one tremendous reward in this world, in the grave, and in the akhirah.
Alright, JazakAllah. Next question is, Mufti Saab, can a woman listen to Radio Islam whilst in i'tikaf?
The female, while she is in i'tikaf, definitely can listen to the radio station. Can listen to Radio Islam.
Alright, so you can listen to Radio Islam. The next question is, what is the ruling on people having khatams by their houses when someone getting married, somebody having a baby, and moving into new houses? Should one read for oneself, it says, Mutisa?
There are three things here. Let us go from the back. As far as when you're moving into a new house, remember, in Islam, there is no official ceremony moving into a new house. There is no roof wetting ceremony. There is no partying, and there is no khatam, etc., proven upon entry into a new house. Whilst your house was being built, or when did you purchase that house, and whilst you were doing renovations before moving in, then the elders' action is that they should perform nafil salat inside that house which was being constructed or renovated prior to moving in. Also, there is no such thing as before moving into a new house, the calling of azan and the knocking of nails. All those things are not proven in the blessed Shariat of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Secondly, to have khatams when you have a... what are the two other...
The one that's noticed up when moving houses.
Yes.
The next one was when getting married and having a baby.
Yeah, all those two. The next two also, there is no khatam for after having a baby or moving house or when there is a marriage in the family. This is not substantiated in the life of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He married so many times, no way it is proven that they had khatam of Quran. Sahaba married, they did not have khatam of Quran. Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam had children, Sahaba had children, there was no Khatam-e-Quran. We should not do these actions because they are not proven in the life and Sharia of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We should abstain and not go to these functions when invited.
Alright. How much is, Murshid Sahib, it says, how much is Sadaqatul Fitr for Shafi'is?
Currently, we have seen that it is 21 rand for the Shafi'is.
Alright. Coming to the computer screen, we have many via SMS. Now we go to the computer screen. The next question is, Murshid Sahib, a non-Muslim accepted Islam and he gave his non-Muslim father Dawat, but he said that he needs to think about it, that is the father, and during that period he passed away. So can the son make dua for him?
The external condition is upon which the ruling will be given, and the external condition is that sadly and unfortunately the father has passed away in the state of not accepting Islam. Thus the person should not make dua. Similarly, we get, for example, the uncle of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Talib, comes clear in Bukhari, that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam invited him right up to the last dying moments of his life. He did not accept Islam and is not classified a Muslim. Thus, there is no dua proven from Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or his uncle who stood with him in major events and defended him against the kuffar and mushrikeen at crucial moments in the life of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We should leave the matter to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we can in the heart hope for the best, but because we do not know whether the person inside his heart passed away believing in Islam or not, but externally, because he did not accept Islam officially, then we should let the matter rest there.
Alright, Jazakallah. And the next question brother asks is, Murshid Sahib, can he go to his mother's house at the time of Diwali and partake of her foods?
He should not do so, because first of all, that the functions and the celebrations and the festivity will be against the spirit of Islam. Secondly, that the food will be mostly offerings to the gods, and that offerings are definitely haram, not permissible for a Muslim to consume. Thirdly, strictly speaking, we are not entitled as per Sharia to wish those people celebrating festivals, whether it be Nowruz of the Persians, Diwali of the Hindus, Christmas of the Christians, well, or congratulate them on New Year's, etc. These are those functions which aids, support their system and civilization and culture and concept and belief. We cannot congratulate them on something that is false, batil, and leading towards the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Alright, Jazakallah. Coming to the SMS question, it says, if going to the dentist tomorrow because I have an abscess and a bad toothache, do I keep fast tomorrow or not, sir?
First of all, you should have already consulted the dentist prior to making this appointment, that he is the one going to be working to remove the tooth and tend to the abscess. And I have spoken to certain dentists. They say both these proceedings can be done without any fluid or water going down the patient's throat. So if you are going to a dentist for any extraction or abscess treatment or any other dental procedure, then you should phone the dentist and ask that, first of all, is this an emergency? Secondly, can there be any medication taken after iftari or at sari time so that we can bear that pain? And if we have to go to the dentist, can they treat it without breaking the fast, meaning without letting any fluid flow down the throat?
All right. The next question is with regards to i'tikaf mutisab. Can a man sit for i'tikaf if his wife has no other mahrams in the house with her?
If the wife has got no other mahrams and cannot maintain herself, sustain herself, and care for herself in the absence of her husband, then the husband should not make i'tikaf and care for the wife's needs, basic necessities, etc. However, in this age that the wife, she must be having some other relatives, mahrams, if they have got absolutely no mahrams, but if they can stock up the food for her and her basic necessities while her husband is away, then it will be permissible. However, another difficulty may arise here, that whilst the husband is away on i'tikaf, then who is going to supply him with food whilst he's in mu'takif? And also remember clearly that to maintain and protect the dignity, honor, status of the wife is necessary, and the i'tikaf is sunnat alal kifaya. Sunnat mufida alal kifaya, meaning that if one person from the locality makes i'tikaf, performs i'tikaf, then the rest of the locality have been absolved, exonerated from the responsibility of making i'tikaf.
Alright, JazakAllah. 70 minutes to 11 o'clock. We have about another 17 to 8 minutes before we conclude this program. Question on SMS saying that with regards to sexual activity while fasting, what will nullify the roza? What is the limit while fasting?
The actual act, relationship act, will nullify the roza.
Alright. We go on further. Can a woman breastfeed while reading the Quran Kareem?
Although it is permissible, it is not advisable.
Alright, JazakAllah. After giving a woman 3 talaqs, can halala be arranged by the husband of his choice? And what happens if the second husband refuses to give her talaq, Muftisab?
First of all, to pre-arrange the halala, the hadith is very clear on this issue, that both the one arranging and the one done upon, etc., and the one who doing the actions are all cursed in this pre-arrangement. However, after pre-arranging, and now the second husband does not want to release that lady, then he is legally, shari, legally entitled to keep that lady as his wife and cannot be forced to give her divorce.
Alright, the next question is from a brother. He says, if one does not know the qunut, is there something else that can be read to replace it?
If the person does not know the qunut, then forthwith the brother or the person concerned should make a concerted effort to start learning it a few words at a time, and inshallah, by the time Ramadan is over, the person will be able to memorize it. However, if the person does not know the qunut, then he may recite the dua, Rabbana atina fi dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina azab an-nar. If the person does not know that, then he can say ya arhamar rahimin 3 times. If the person does not know that even, then it is written in Umdatul Fiqh that he can say ya rabbi 3 times also.
Alright, JazakAllah Muhtisab. The next question is with regards to istikhara. When one reads the istikhara namaz, is it necessary to follow the signs in your dreams? And what happens if you don't follow it?
First of all, about istikhara, that we have written, and a person can go see it on our website, a book we have written called Nafil Salat, Sunnat Salat, Qaza Salat, our site alislam.co.za. There we have written about istikhara, few basic principles. Number one, that after performing istikhara, it is not necessary that a person sees a dream. a very beautiful dream. Secondly, it is not necessary that the angel comes and talks to him in the dream. Thirdly, it is not necessary that he must see the dream within 7 days. Basically, if he sees a dream, then he will have it interpreted by a reliable, pious alim who is his well-wisher. Secondly, that when he gets up, the inclination that he gets in the heart, whether to do it or not, that is the biggest criteria and sign for making the decision. Also, that once upon getting the inclination or the dream, then he must terminate or she must terminate the istikhara. Once a person has got the inclination to do or not to do, or to proceed or not to proceed, then it is not necessary to complete the 7 days of the istikhara namaz.
Right. The next question is via SMS. Salam, is it true that when one inherits jewelry, one should cleanse it because it attracts bad spirits?
This is absolutely baseless and vain and futile, and this is superstitious, and this must be unfortunately coming from some dark corners of cults and Batil civilizations. And unfortunately, this is a old fairy tale coming down. And how are they going to cleanse that jewelry? What are they going to do? And who is going to con them to clean that jewelry and purge it? And how, first of all, they know that that jewelry has been done upon, or the spirits are going to come after it? There is no such thing as the spirits come back to the home of the deceased, or the souls come back on the Thursdays, or the souls come back in Eid day, or the souls have got an attachment to the jewelry. These are batil concepts, and these are superstitious ideas which we Muslims definitely must get rid of totally from our heart, head, blood and system. And these unfortunately ruin and destroy a person's belief structure in Islam. So the person should not attach any false, batil, vain, baseless beliefs as far as inheriting of jewelry or visiting of souls.
Alright, JazakAllah. What happens, Salam, it says, if the Imam goes down into ruku instead of saying the takbir for the dua iqunut in witr salam?
If he goes down into ruku and completely into ruku, then they should prompt him and let him come up and continue the salat and complete it by sijda sahw.
Alright. The next question is, while a woman is in i'tikaf, can a husband read fada'il amal to the wife for a few minutes every night?
He can forget reading fada'il amal to her. He can teach her any other kitab also, and he can also be taught by her, and he can sit there and they both can read Quran al-Kareem, and he can sit there and they both can listen to any program, and they both can listen to Quran al-Kareem over the tape or the radio also.
Alright. Please explain which male members of one's in-laws a lady doesn't have to make barda from. She's got two questions, but let's tell her the first one.
All those whom she cannot marry.
Alright, short and simple. The second question is, can a lady leave her breastfeeding baby to go for Mastura Jamaat?
To go out for Mastura Jamaat is rewardable, laudable, good, and encouraged. And if a person has got the ability to do so without causing any harm, physical harm and mental harm to the person, then the person should go out. And this is a very good method of reforming oneself, getting oneself focused in the akhirat, and it should be encouraged. If the child can be weaned in a different manner, then it will be permissible. However, the weaning of the child and the breastfeeding of the child by the mother is of utmost importance and should be given a preference, and there should be some adequate arrangements made that they take the child with in the Mashturat Jamaat. They should not discard the rights of the child and let the child alone without any proper care, without proper weaning off, and go away into Masturat Jamaat.
When it says, the next question is, when a couple argue and the man is wrong, Mufti Saab, he uses, the sister says, Islam every time, so that the woman cannot voice her opinion. Sane woman must never show anger towards the man, as that is the order from Allah. How does she also express her feelings then?
What has been explained is a common difficulty and problem. Unfortunately, the men, the males, they, when they are in a corner and they are now cannot, not in a position to answer adequately, and when they are down and when they are at fault, then they resort to Sharia and use Sharia whenever it suits them, and discard Sharia when it does not suit them. This is grossly unreasonable, and this should stop. This practice of men using the word of Sharia and threatening their wives with it is not good, and it is not conducive for healthy marital relationship. The wife should at that stage not argue with the husband, let him cool down, and then explain what I have explained, that Sharia, the law of Sharia, holds both the man and the husband and the wife equal, the male and the female equal in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like how the Sharia is applicable to the female, the Sharia is applicable to the male. And the man should not capitalize that he is the stronger gender and try to suppress the female's rights which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given, and utilizing the Sharia as a weapon, as an instrument against the female, is definitely not good.
Alright, the next question, which is a very common one, is intend getting a second wife. The first wife does not approve and would prefer a talaq. What does Mufti Saab advise?
Naturally, because especially we have come from Indo-Pak subcontinent, and we are not accustomed to taking second wives, and this not taking of second wives is prevalent more in Indo-Pakistan and also South Africa and Zimbabwe, Zambia, Botswana, all these areas. However, when you go above that, those countries that I mentioned, there, when a person gets married to the first wife, he fully knows that within a short period of duration, he is going to be the second wife or even the third wife. And they regard that as normal, natural way of living. Here, it is very difficult to explain. And the person, first of all, should have some valid grounds for taking a second wife. If he's got a Shari valid grounds for taking the second wife, then he should explain it, and if he cannot explain it properly, then he should at least explain it to her mahrams, who can then explain it to her, and maybe they can live harmoniously after that. It is not good for her to demand a divorce because her husband is taking a second wife.
Alright, very interesting subject, Mufti Saab. I think in the weeks to come we'll allot some time for second wives as well, that topic. The next question is, I have not made istikhara for marriage, however I know I want to marry this man. My family urges me to perform istikhara. What do I do? Is it compulsory to make istikhara?
In the case that has been stated, that although you feel that you are certain about certain activities and you feel that you do not require istikhara, however, your family members, you should assess that, first of all, are they your seniors? Secondly, are they your well-wishers? Thirdly, are they more experienced? Fourthly, when they had previously given you mashwara, was it worthwhile? Was it worthy to listen to? Now, if you can answer those questions, then I think you'll come to a conclusion that you should listen to them. Because listening to mashwara, the rule is that mashwara is focal istikhara, that mashwara, having mutual consultation, is superior to istikhara, comes in the Quran Kareem, that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, although he was the repository of wahi, meaning that he was receiving wahi and in communion with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he was the person Jibreel alayhi salam visiting, notwithstanding all that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, وَشَاوِرُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ, that make consultation, mutual consultation in your affairs. So the Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could have made istikhara, and he could have asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send wahi, and inshallah shortly wahi should have come. But Allah said, no, make mashwara. Now the mashwara and the consultation that is been given is to make the istikhara. My advice will be to make the istikhara.
Alright, JazakAllah. We have almost time up. Let's do the last question for today. The brother says, when the imam reads silently, should we also be reciting or just be waiting silently?
As for the Hanafi school of thought, that in the Qirat, in the Salat, in the Farz Salat, when you're following the Imam, then your Imam is your deputy, your Imam is your engine, your Imam is your representative, talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on your behalf, representing you according to the Hanafi school of thought. Then when the Imam is reading, then the Quranic ayats are clear, that when the Quran is being recited, then remain silent and listen to the Quran Kareem attentively. So we should be listening to the qiraat of the imam, and even in silent namazes, sirri namazes, when you have chosen your imam as your representative and your engine, then you are the coach, you are merely following, so you do not have to read anything. The Hanafi scholars have stated that, however, in the third and the fourth rakat of a jahri audible namaz, if you are to read the Surah Fatiha, then it is permissible.
Alright, Mustafa, the final question is, can a woman make nafal i'tikaf from Isha till Sahri?
Understand firstly what is the meaning of nafal i'tikaf. There are three types of i'tikaf. One is the sunnat al-muqidah, which is the last 10 days which the males do in a masjid, wherein 5 daily salats take place. And there are a lot of restrictions and limitations and boundaries and rules and regulations to be followed for the validity and upkeep of that particular i'tikaf. And then there is a wajib i'tikaf, which a person made a vow, I will keep. For wajib and for nafil, then the salat, then the fasting is a precondition. For the nafil, there is no precondition of fasting. Nafil can last for even 1 minute, because a person going into the masjid, or the person, the female going into the demarcated area, and just make a niyat that I am going to make i'tikaf for a particular duration. And as long as I am in the masjid, then I will be making the i'tikaf, nafil i'tikaf. And a person can go there, go and come out whenever a person feels like, unlike the masnoon i'tikaf.
Alright, Mutilam, JazakAllah so much for your help. It's now 11 o'clock and we terminate and conclude the program. JazakAllah for your help. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala reward you in abundance in both the dunya, qabr and akhirat. And Mutilam, ma for keeping up so late, but now you can tackle those samosas and ice creams and bajjas. And to the listeners, inshallah, for Aziz, this coming Sunday between 1:30 and 3 o'clock, we will have another session of the question and answers, and you'll have a chance to call us there on
0111. Come back on Thursday, inshallah, is it?
Sorry, Mufisab, today is Tuesday, Maaf. I'm thinking ahead, Maaf for it. Yes, Thursday night, inshallah, Maaf. Mufisab, JazakAllah so much for your time and help.
JazakAllah. Big dua for Aziz.
Inshallah, you too, Mufisab. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.